Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And I know Chris Canty.
What up?
Chris Canty has the nerve. First of all, Chris Canty, J., has put me under pressure for I wear uptowns. If they got a little, you know, if they're on the seventh wear, I'm like, oh no, can't.
Man, he don't never wear sneakers when I'm in studio. Like, if he knows ahead of time that I'm gonna be on the show,
I'm too lazy to take the new ones out of the box.
CeCe, if you could see every time when Max comes in, when you're not here, it's like a therapy session because I look down, he's like, yeah, man. Canty got me on. He got me on.
He got me under pressure.
Higher alert on this shoe game.
Then the worst is when you get someone from New York on the show, right? Because then if I have a pair of pants on, especially if it's in the warmer weather, if I cuff them, if I just roll them one time because they're a little long,
capris.
Now he's hit me with the capris. This dude comes in just now after talking all that mess. He got a CC monogram.
Yeah.
On the shirt,
just
in case someone else is going to get confused with his size 92. Oh, I thought that. I didn't know this was yours.
Yeah.
And a flower on the lapel?
Yeah.
What, are you going to a prom?
Well, I don't have the pocket square that goes with this tie.
You don't need a pocket square.
I just wanted to go with a little
something.
Oh, you have to have something on your lapel.
Burgundy and gray breaks up fine.
Listen. You're 6 foot nothing. I'm 6'8". This is a lot of fabric. You got to break it up
gave
with
you 6 foot.
He said I'm 6'8".
That's a win for Max.
He won.
Damn it, I didn't mean to give him anything.
Wait. See, I got to ask you a real question.
You know what? We should have Max at the combine and have him stand side by side with Bryce Young just to see who's taller.
That's a great idea.
I need to get the real height. I need to get the real.
This is something, Jay, real quick.
The real shoe size.
This is something my brother used to talk about. Remember Ghetto Boys? My mind's playing tricks.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, Bushwick Bill, who is a little person, said he stood about 6 or 7.
Term?
I think so. He stood about 6 or 7 feet, right? That's the whatever. The dude I've been seeing in my sleep, right?
Yeah.
And then my brother's like, oh, hold up. You know, there's a big difference between 6 and 7 feet, right? Mm-hmm. What do you mean 6 or 7 feet? But from Bushwick Bill's perspective,
there's no.
It's just really big.
I'm uncomfortable with where you took it,
man.
Wait a minute.
That's the same thing that just happened to Canty. He told me, you're 6 feet nothing. Like, that's a bad thing.
From his
point of view, he's like, oh, you're short. I'm like, he gave me 6 feet.
Yeah.
Canty, I do have to say, your thighs are the size of Max's torso.
My mama gave me those thighs.
Jay, you and I are like the same size.
We're not.
Maybe a little bigger.
No, you're not going to hit the world with the Keyshawn Johnson.
More or less.
Max Kellerman, Jay Williams are the same thing. No,
what are you, like 5'11 and a half?
No, I'm 6'2 and a half. And you're definitely.
And a half, he threw
it. Well, 6'3 in the program.
I mean.
6'3 in the program. NBA 6'3 games, maybe 6'1 and a half. What are you talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about. A half inch matters.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. A half inch is.
Size matters, Max.
No question. No matter what nobody tells you, Max, it does matter.
Stop this motion of the ocean.
How tall are you again? 6'8? Are you 6'8 or 6'8 and a half?
I'm 6'8.
8 and a half.
6'8.
Tell him.
300 and.
Say it with the chest.
300 and something.
See, if he was in the
half.
If he was in the NBA, he'd be listed at 6'10.
Moving on.
Right. Yeah, I don't understand this business with the NBA. You measure at the combine with sneakers on?
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah, they like market the height.
I mean, in the NFL, you play with cleats on, but you don't measure with shoes on.
Not only are you an NBA 6'10? But then they start calling you a footer because it's close enough.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like a 7-footer. No, he's like 6'8", but they list him at 6'10".
He's like 6'9".
Kevin Love is like 5'11". They listed him at like 6'9". All right, the Lakers lose again.
Well, you can play 5'11". Don't get that twisted. What's just because you 6'8 don't mean you can't play like you 5'10. You never heard that before?
Meaning you want him to play bigger?
I used to hear Greg Popovich destroy people, but I hear 7 feet tall playing like you 6'1".
Yeah, kind of like Anthony Davis when Jaren Jackson punched on him last night.
What did I say the first hour, Max? What did I say the first hour? What's it, it's exactly what I said the first hour.
Yep.
You get bowed in the face after you get banged on. You're
but
the
let's
dude.
Talk about why you got bowed in the face, though. He looked back at it. Like, he looked back to see if there was somebody creeping. Bro, just box out. You 7 feet tall. Box out and get a rebound. That's what you're supposed to do. Instead, you get tomahawked on by 3J. That's an embarrassment.
He finished, AD did. Lakers lose again. AD finishes with 28-19 and 5 blocks.
See,
it looks
man,
like a great game.
28 points was quiet as a church mouse, man. Quiet as a church mouse. Mm-hmm. And, Jay, you hit the nail on the head at the top of the show. With LeBron James out, D-Lo out, you got to be aggressive. The offense got to run through you. Bro, 2 shots in the first quarter?
Yo, I'm sitting there watching the game, CC. I'm like, hold on. Am I missing something? Like, I'm coming out of the gates. I'm not trying to feel the game. The game is about to feel me.
Yeah.
The game is about to feel me because I'm about to be uber aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, they're going to feel all 6'2 in that half inch.
In that half inch.
Shaq talks about it, and I think there's been a conflation. 6'2.5.
Hey, know. Man, a half inch matters, man. I use it where you can, brother. You know?
I say little person, and you guys get all nervous.
Max,
but now you guys will stop with this.
No, stop revisiting
that. Get us back on track, Max. Come on now.
Jeez. I'm about
talking
to.
About my Lakers.
Here's the thing that and Shaq talks about this sometimes. What you're talking about sometimes gets conflated, meaning it's rolled into one thing with a guy like when bigs tried to take the ball up or something, it was frowned upon, right? Oh, you're a big, you just get your butt in the paint and this and that. But it's okay to have multiple skills, right? Like Shaq talks about, I wish they would have let me do what Giannis gets to do. It's okay to have multiple skills, but you have to know when to impose your size and ability. And Anthony Davis doesn't quite have the skills that when he first got in the league, oh my God, he's different. No, lots of guys do more than that, or some guys do more than that now at the size. And he also doesn't seem to know when to impose his size and ability. Grizzlies crushed the Lakers in the second half. Scoring 54 paint points, tied for the most paint points in a half.
That was Ja Morant in the third quarter.
By the way,
tied for the most paint points in a half by any team since play-by-play was first tracked in 96-97.
Out-rebounded them plus 38 points in the paint.
Jay,
plus 38
Jay,
points.
How do you let Ja Morant score 28 points in the third quarter?
Grab 10 boards.
I get that Ja is a beast, right? But how do you let that man set a franchise record in terms of points in a quarter? Especially the way he was getting those buckets, man. It wasn't like he was pulling up from 26 feet. Well, this guy was getting to the paint every single time.
So, you know, CeCe, you and I talk all the time, you know, not on the show, just text.
Yeah.
When I say your name, I know there's an identity with your name. When somebody says, oh, yo, Jay Will, do you feel like there's an identity with who I am and how I come to work and who I am every day?
Yeah.
Okay. When I say the Lakers, what's that identity? I don't – because
don't know what it is.
For me – I'm sitting there saying, oh, okay, Dylan Brooks coming in here looking like Prince. I don't know if y'all saw his walking last night. It was like a combination of Prince with
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's something different.
I wouldn't think that you could put the two together.
It was like Western,
but
also.
You know what? He was waiting on that outfit because it was 70 degrees. He was like, as soon as it's back 70, I'm going to kill him with this one. They ain't going to see it coming.
Get the belly button tattoo next. Get the belly button ring. Do it all. But so I'm looking at that. I'm watching that. Like, that got me angry as a former player. I'm like, hold on. You're just wearing this to the game?
Yeah.
Shannon Sharp, all that stuff that came out last time we played you at the Staples Centers again.
Yeah, the Crip. Yeah,
the Crip, right? All that, like, how is it not personal for this team? And I get it's one game, but, like, I'm watching the game like, where is the identity?
Let's go back to identity. The identity is a LeBron James team. That's it. And now LeBron is down. What's the identity? They've lost. Now they're completely generic. But that's what you guys are talking about. That's when AD needs to impose his size and ability. Right? He needs to impose himself a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what you want. The one pushback that I would give is that AD doesn't have somebody that can get him
doesn't
the ball
support.
Consistently
especially
in his spots in
D-Lo.
Half-court
yeah.
offense. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you had somebody like LeBron or like D'Lo that's in the lineup – all of a sudden, you get a lot more easy looks at the rim. You have the opportunity for pick-and-roll situations. He can rim run all of those things. And you didn't have those elements in last night's game. And I think last night was a reflection of your offense and your struggles on that end of the court affecting what you do defensively. Mm-hmm. Because they weren't the same team against the Grizzlies that we saw against the Dallas Mavericks. They were able to get stops in that fourth quarter against the Dallas
That's
Mavericks.
Right. AD
that
needs
was
someone
damn
to get
who was on the court.
AD needs to get someone
exactly.
to get him the ball.
LeBron James.
But I see, like, to me, I just – I talk about Anthony Davis very differently now. Because a couple years ago, his name used to be mentioned in the likes of a LeBron or Giannis or Jokic. And I'm saying, well, hold on a second. All these guys initiate offense. All these guys are getting rebounds. Like, their dexterity, their skill set is so different. It's almost like they're like a 3.0 version, and like AD is still stuck on the 2.0. It doesn't mean that he can't be effective.
Yeah.
But go back to your point, CC. He needs a D-Lo to say, yo, these are your sweet spots. This is where you're going to score from. I'm going to get you the ball at the right spots at the right times in the game. And if you don't have that around him, it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, what you're talking about is him being the catalyst because he's the best player. And that hasn't been something that Anthony Davis has shown since he's been in a Laker uniform. It's had to be LeBron James. And if LeBron is out of the lineup, then this is a completely different
team. Did he show it in New Orleans?
He showed up
they
in New Orleans,
Holiday,
but they had
too,
Drew
now.
Holiday, too. It was a little bit different.
Actually, to me, that's damning because it's not like AD didn't have winning players, you know, guys who – Drew Holiday went on to win a championship.
No doubt.
But those Pelicans teams, looking back at it, underachieved. At the time, it looked like they're ascending. He needs a little more. But, in fact, he had enough to do much better than he did in the playoffs,
but Max,
how good he is.
He's more of a traditional big.
Yeah, he is.
He's – the new modern version of the traditional big.
A big in the NBA, in modern NBA history, and maybe it has to do with the, because I think modern NBA history since the absorption of the ABA teams, because that was the advent of the three-point shot in the NBA, there have been at Kareem, yes, but he had Magic and then Worthy. There have been so few examples of that big is clearly the best player on the team and their dominant championship team. Even Shaq, as I mentioned earlier, CeCe, couldn't do it with Penny and an excellent cast. He needed Kobe and Phil Jackson.
Yeah,
and got swept. They made one finals and got swept out of the finals. Shaq and a prime Penny and Nick Anderson and all that, and Horace Grant and all these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's a lot. So in one way, you're right about AD. In another way, the game has changed to the point where it is hard for a big to be the best player on the team and win. Embiid hasn't done it. Jokic hasn't done it. They haven't done it.
Well, we can say those guys haven't done it, but it looks different with those guys on the court as opposed to what we see from Anthony Davis.
It does.
I mean, think about over the weekend, Joel Embiid, if he's a half second earlier with that shot, you're talking about him making, what, a 70-footer in order to win a game against the Boston Celtics? So, I mean, it looks different with those guys. Jokic last night, he had his 100th career triple-double. I mean, it looks different with those dudes as opposed to what we're seeing from Anthony Davis. And this was supposed to be the time with the Lakers franchise where LeBron was passing the torch to AD, and it doesn't feel like AD's prepared for that.
He's not a torchbearer.
Yeah, he's not a dog.
Right.
He's not a dog.
Keyshawn J. Willimax is brought to you by Nature Valley. Nature Valley wants to see you and your family out there. When we share our love for out there, we inspire others to protect it. And that's what getting out there is all about. Nature Valley, life happens out there. Can the Lakers stay in playoff contention at least without LeBron?
CeCe, you guys going to make the playoffs? You going to make the play-in?
We'll make the play-in.
You going to make the playoffs?
If LeBron comes back. Say ESPN, Keyshawn J. Willimax, Chris Canty with us,
you
ESPN Radio.
I'm going to wear the Dylan Brooks outfit.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Both ours. Just keep it at my
keep it at your house.
And let me just say, we're going to take your calls. Can the Lakers stay in playoff contention until LeBron returns? 888-SAY-ESPN. But let me just also add, NFL, Aaron Rodgers, football. Just wanted to say that, Jay.
You just wanted to throw that out there, that we're going to talk about football?
I'm just going to say Aaron Rodgers, what else?
I just want to state for the record that we're only talking about the Lakers because Max is forcing us to talk about the Lakers.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk about the Bucks or the Kings or the Nuggets.
Well,
he doesn't want to talk about any of those
Bucks,
things.
Perfect February?
No, let's not do that.
No. Don't speak of the Bucks.
Max wants to focus
speak
on
of
the
Giannis, list. If you like, but not the
not
Bucks.
The Bucks.
Why can't we talk about the Bucks?
No, people want to hear NFL, Aaron Rodgers, yes, Lamar Jackson. And now we can talk about basketball. But
we're building
to Giannis and LeBron and KD.
Has Aaron Rodgers came out of a state of darkness yet? Because Brandon Marshall feels like he's already
going to get into that in a little bit.
The Packers are still in the dark. That's clear from Brian Gutekunst's comments at the combine. We ain't talked to him since the season ended, cuz.
Somebody turn the light on, please. Please.
Why do I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to walk away just to shut people like me up? See, I'm not going to play for this and then come back and play for this.
And Max, ain't no way in hell Aaron Rodgers is walking away from $60 million.
He's not really walking away. He's going to say he's retiring.
But, okay.
Just to look like, oh, see, I did get some enlightenment in the darkness, and then come back and play for the $60
million. CCC, you missed it, though. So you reacted to the money part. Did you hear the part where Max said, Aaron Rodgers is reacting to people like me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ever since Tom Brady... now all of a sudden he wants
to make
Max.
It about him.
It's always about Max.
I can't help
just way to bring to the Max. Conversation
True.
About
yes.
him.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
From dusty Air Force Ones to elite quarterbacks, he finds a way.
That's chapter one.
To those Capri pants. He like Dylan Brooks. As soon as the weather in New York cracks 50 degrees,
roll them up.
You're going to see these Capris, cuz. Y'all going to get them.
That's his look.
Oh, man. No, Max, there's no way he's walking away from that type of money.
Hey, can the Lakers stay? We're going to get to that.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention NFL. I don't want to go too long without mentioning.
We'll get there.
Can the Lakers stay in playoff contention without LeBron James, Dave, in Maryland?
What's going on, my friends?
What's popping, man?
Listen, I don't think there's no way they can stay in the contention. I think they're going to miss the play-in game. LeBron won't be back for at least 2 weeks. I think it'll be more looking at that injury. AD has proven he can't carry teams. He couldn't do it in New Orleans, and he can't do it in L.A., and I just think when you look at teams like OKC, Portland, Utah, I just think they're going to nip them out. And I think LeBron has said it, that he wants to make the playoffs. They don't want to miss in a row. I think this is AD's last 20 games here, and I think he's going to get shipped to Chicago in the offseason. Kyrie's going to come to L.A., and DeMar DeRozan's going to go to Dallas in a three-team deal. But one final other point is I want to make is that AD does not make this team better. Like all those other great players, they impact the game and they take the games over. When you see AD play, I watched the game last night. He was just another player, and he's a decent player, but he doesn't impose his will on those other players.
He's better than a decent
Jackson
player, but I hear what you're saying.
Night.
I hear what you're saying. Like, yes.
But he's talking about the impact of the game.
Right.
He doesn't really impact the game the way other stars like LeBron or Giannis or Jokic do. I mean, I get what he brings to the table defensively.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not the same – it's hard for me to put my finger on it. It's not the same kind of movement, right? You don't feel the same kind of sway of energy that you would with the other players.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be the energy guy. You know, Jay, and you've been in pro locker rooms. You understand what I'm talking about. There are guys that are just energy guys, and there are other players that feed off of those energy guys.
Draymond Green is an energy guy.
Anthony Davis is the latter and not the former, and that's the problem when LeBron James is out of the lineup. And when you don't have somebody that can initiate the offense and get guys going on that side of the court, because we all know, listen, guys play defense because that means they get more trips on offense. Everybody want to score. Everybody want to get buckets. So in order to get buckets, they buy into playing defense. But when you can't get buckets in your half court, you're not getting those easy looks in transition offense, it makes it a struggle to play defense consistently, especially when you're going up against a dynamic point guard like Ja Morant. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Anthony Davis doesn't have a dominant-like impact.
Yeah, right. He's not just a decent player.
If you watch the game against the Mavs, and I did because I'm a Lakers fan, in that fourth quarter, AD was huge. when it came to being able to get second chance points, being able to clean the glass, the second jumps. Like, AD was downright dominant against the Dallas Mavs in that comeback. What were they, down 27?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the game was over. The game was over.
AD played a huge role in that. But again, it wasn't necessarily just AD. It was other guys being able to get things going.
It was the Jared Vanderbilts.
It was the LeBron James being able to get the offense going and getting the ball to AD. So I think that's the problem that the Lakers face. When you don't have Braun, when you don't have D'Lo, you're going to get a different version of Anthony Davis, and that's the problem.
Let's not rush past the LeBron thing. The big thing is LeBron said he heard it pop. He heard a pop in his that season's over. That's like let's not kid ourselves.
Well, let's just see how long it takes LeBron to get back. They're going to reevaluate him.
Season's over.
Chris, listen, man. Let's get LeBron James some of that deer antler that Ray Lewis got once upon a time. Let's get that going for LeBron.
A trip to Germany,
whatever we got to make happen.
I commend LeBron James for even stating that, you know, the next 25 games are the biggest 25 games in my career.
Yeah,
I think fans resonate with that. I think me as a competitor, I love that.
Yeah.
Last three seasons, man, LeBron like has had injuries late in the season.
Yeah, no.
He's had injury. So, like, if you're looking at this thing saying, hey, I want to play the next three, four years.
Dan,
like,
in Texas has something to say.
You just going to cut him off?
Go ahead. I thought you made your point.
Wow.
Damn, Max.
You are a terrible teammate, Max Kellerman.
Chris dribbled out the clock. I'm just trying to get the shot off.
It does pose the question, like, is it worth you rushing yourself back on a foot injury to try to come back and make the play-in tournament? It poses that.
Pause.
Got you. I'm done now.
Dan in Texas. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
How y'all doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Appreciate for taking my call. So the way I see it is, like you said, I wouldn't rush LeBron James. I would let the team go in to try to make it into the play-in. I wanted to ask Jay a specific question because I hear him harping on the Lakers, and I get it. But can you point out some of the positives? Because from where I'm sitting, I see a team that's developing. They're out of their arrogant phase because they're in their mid-20s. I see a coach that's selling a good system and selling a good mentality. You hear them saying that they don't want to disappoint LeBron. I wanted to see, who do you think has to step up besides AD to make the plans? Because they only lost by 11 points the way I see it, right? And that was at the end when they went on an 8-0 run.
Yep.
I think D'Lo can cover those 8 points or those 11 points. Right, the difference. I think obviously LeBron can cover those, but in a 7-game series, I think LeBron takes the first two, right, and then you put him sit to rest and give me AD and give me D'Lo, and they can make the difference. Thank you for taking my call.
All good, man. I think there are positive points, but the hard part about finding the positive points is about they're buried in the basement of the Western Conference, right? So
it's the basement, but they're one game out of the 10th spot in the West.
I agree with you on that. I've been the one saying that all the time. They're two games separate from the 6th spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So D'Lo's going to have to find a different pace to his game. D'Lo, to me, is almost like a modern-day Andre Miller. You remember that name?
No, I remember Andre Miller, yeah.
Andre Miller can get anywhere he wanted.
Utah,
court,
right?
Anytime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
his own rhythm, his own pace.
His own pace, right? And now I think without LeBron James being on the court, Darvin Ham has to find ways to increase the tempo of the game. So D'Lo has to get a little bit uncomfortable. But I do believe that D'Lo can make a lot of those shots when AD is on the court. That could be a great pick-and-roll combination. Is it enough to pull you out of the cellar? We're about to find out.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs. From quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options, Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Will LeBron be back before Aaron Rodgers makes up his mind? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
What'd they call you at the Rucker? Born Supremacist.
Born
right?
Supremacist.
Yeah, I remember. It was so fresh.
You remember, yeah. Because I got hyped about it.
If you ever go to the... I don't even know why you let people talk to you. Don't look directly
at
me.
Born Supremacy. I got
born
it.
Born Supremacy. Come on,
I was
man.
Born really Supremacy on one leg out there. Imagine if I had both legs working.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Chris, this
Can
is...
Can I say that's a cold nickname?
Cold nickname.
That is one of the best. Ice cold nickname.
Could you imagine this is when he's... This is when after the motorcycle accident, you show up at Rucker and give him the business
Dykeman. It was a Dykeman.
Sorry, Dykeman. You show up at and give him the business till they call you Born Supremacy?
Yeah.
You couldn't even talk to me. Yeah. You couldn't even look directly at me after that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. 29 years old, man. Just trying to show him what time it was.
Woo.
Just like he showed Bart Scott and Alan Hahn.
That was different.
That was different.
that was different when you look at your two other teammates and you don't have no confidence in your first teammate to make the free throw to get you the ball. Like, all right, we're going to have to do this in the defensive end. And then your second teammate who's winded during warm-ups, I'm like, Key, why are you sweating? Why are you breathing hard?
It was all bad.
We're just going
Key.
Through layup lines.
It was all bad.
You know, who I really felt bad for that whole time was Hahn. Because Alan Hahn, because Bart Scott, it was like the Honeymooners, where Bart Scott was Ed Norton.
Yeah.
He talked him into it, right? Yeah. Like he's, don't worry about it. He's nothing. And Alan Hahn finds himself like humiliated because his partner.
But here's the thing: Alan Hahn might have played himself on that one because he was taking that thing way too seriously.
Way too seriously.
Like he was in the gym weeks on the lead up. He's dunking in warm ups, trying to prove to himself he still got it. Like Al. He's about to go up against the former number two overall
the
pick.
Born supremacy.
By the way, College Hall American,
two-time player of the year.
When Bart came in the court, any hooper knows this. I was like, please don't guard me, Bart. Bart had the double ankle strap braces on. See, when you're wearing two ankle braces, you're about to hurt somebody.
Yeah,
Bart.
He chose violence. It's kind of like somebody that's wearing black Air Force Ones.
High top.
Nope. It ain't nothing but trouble with those people.
Listen,
you see somebody coming down the street with black Air Force Ones
across
on?
The street.
You cross the damn street.
You think Aaron Rodgers would wear black Air Force Ones?
He's that kind of guy.
See that?
Yeah, he's about that. He's about that life.
He's about that life. That Prince of Darkness.
He's a bad guy. Yeah. 1,000%.
Is he a bad guy though?
Really? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think so.
You think Aaron Rodgers is, as the kids say, leaning into that role, or you think that's him?
I mean, I think that's him at this point because he's been leaning into that role for a long damn time. I mean, there ain't a whole lot of people that have glowing reviews about Aaron Rodgers the person.
Mm. That's wild, man. Rodgers, when you think about how much that stuff, how far that goes, not just your reputation but your effect on the people around you.
Yeah.
What's the difference skill-wise, really, between Rodgers and Mahomes? Right? It's the same thing more or less.
But you'd rather have Mahomes.
Let's not do that. Well, no, Rodgers' talent is like I'll take Mahomes in terms of pure stuff by a hair.
Yeah.
But it's everything else. Really?
I don't want to get the conversation sidetracked.
Sidetrack it. You think you can't compare Rodgers skills-wise to Mahomes?
No. Who compares to Pat Mahomes?
I'd say guy is Rodgers.
You're talking about the greatest 6-year start of any quarterback in the National Football
League. Call it 5 years because the first one. Yeah.
That's my point. Yeah. We're saying 6 years.
Let's call it five. It's really five.
Exactly.
Yeah. Five.
He's got more playoff wins through 6 years than Tom Brady did.
No. Right. But he has much more success than Rodgers has had already.
That's my point.
I'm ascribing some of that to his leadership, his personality, his likability, all that stuff. And you're saying, no, it's just, I'm saying Rodgers' skill says he should be able to do something like that. His personality versus Mahomes is as much a problem.
Let me ask you this.
Pat Mahomes out here throwing no-look passes. I saw in practice that he threw a behind-the-back pass and hit the goalpost from 30 yards out.
Describe it to me as an expert who's won championships in this sport.
Yeah.
What is the difference, just skill set-wise, between Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, first of all, I think from an arm talent standpoint, Pat Mahomes has got Aaron Rodgers beat. He has
by a lot.
It's not by a lot. We're talking about the thinnest of margins, but he has a stronger arm than Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, the guy at his pro day at Texas Tech threw the ball 80 yards in the air.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then you start talking about the different arm angles that Pat Mahomes can throw the football. I mean, I saw a game on Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos. This dude threw a pass left-handed because the defense had his right hand. Like, it's just there are certain things that you see from Pat Mahomes, the ability to make those off-schedule plays in the flair in which he does it, I have not seen from Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers is a bad dude in his prime, but we ain't talking about prime Aaron Rodgers right now. We not. This is a different quarterback than the guy we saw win back-to-back MVPs in 2020 and 2021.
That's 1 year ago, though.
Yeah, it can say 1 year ago, but he's knocking on 40 years old.
That's one year ago.
Sometimes life comes at you fast, man. You seen those commercials?
Rookie receivers. Well, last time he thought life came
Everybody coming up with excuses.
I'm just saying, last time he thought life went fast, he thought Tom Brady was going to fall off the cliff, and then all of a sudden.
But look what happened.
I'm comfortable predicting this one.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm comfortable predicting this.
You're saying, what are you predicting?
I'm saying that we're not going to see MVP-level Aaron Rodgers ever again in the NFL.
Do you believe that did you believe that's at the time with. That was it the case when
that's
he
was over
close?
With.
Even close?
Dog, that's over with.
Chris, did you it's believe over. That was the case
like
first
Matt
year?
McClung at the dunk contest? Yeah. It's over.
Did you believe it's this over. Was the case the first year under LaFleur when they drafted Jordan Love because he didn't quite look the same? Did you think it was possible then that he was in decline already?
They won 13 games the first year under
LaFleur. Yeah, but did you think it was possible he was in decline?
No. They won 13 games.
I just can't.
Here's the thing. I could never imagine prime Aaron Rodgers or a guy that's the MVP of the league having a week 18 winning in game at home and your offense only puts up 16 points.
Where do they do that? Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM at the press conference. Does he want Rodgers back?
Yeah, there's been some contact back and forth. Obviously, he's had some things on his plate, but hopefully those things will happen soon.
Do you want him back as the quarterback of the Packers?
Yeah, I think those discussions have to happen and making sure that it's the right fit. But obviously, we know the kind of player that Aaron is. And once we have those conversations, we'll be able to move forward with a lot more to say.
Hold on, Max. Before you say anything to that question when he's answering and other than yes is a no. The fact that it took him that long to answer that question, do you want Aaron Rodgers back? The fact that it took that long is a no. Just so we're clear,
CeCe,
I'm well versed in general manager front office jargon. I can promise you, anything other than yes is no.
I'm looking at you and I'm just thinking, this is sad. This is like a relationship where a guy's like, I'm not sure I want to be with you, and the girl or the guy opposite is like, I want to try to find a way to make it work. Please, what do you want to do?
Who's the girl begging?
Begging Aaron Rodgers. It sounds like Brian Gutekunst is begging Aaron Rodgers.
Is he begging him?
No, Chris is saying the opposite.
No. He ain't begging him.
Okay.
He ain't doing a Keith Sweat impersonation right now.
I don't think it's begging, but I think it's I have to sit here and wait for you to make a decision to see if you want to come to and be in this relationship.
No, I don't think it's him making a decision about playing for the Packers anymore. I think it's Aaron Rodgers making a decision that he wants to play football and then working with the Packers to get to his preferred destination. Because if you kind of dive into some of the things that Brian Gutekunst said yesterday, there was one in particular that caught my attention, and I quote, I will say our season last year was a disappointment and not where we wanted to be. Whenever that happens, you're going to have to look at a number of things you're going to change. And I think the quarterback is the biggest one.
What can they still get for him?
Well, you can get a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers.
A first-round pick?
You can get a first-round pick for him.
One first-round pick?
Well, Max, we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to commit to playing football beyond 2023.
That's what I'm saying.
If the cost is one first-round pick, there'll be a line of teams looking for Aaron Rodgers.
So if it might be a first-round plus, so maybe a first and a third, or a first and whatever it ends up being.
Still,
Max,
sounds like a low price. But if
you're not getting multiple first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers. That's not going to happen.
Wow.
Not for 1 year.
Wow.
Not for 1 year.
No, I hear you, but I think not long ago, you look like the Deshaun Watson trade. You think, what could you get for Aaron Rodgers? You would think multiple firsts would be the starting point. You're saying that's not even the end point.
No.
Mm-hmm. Are the Giants headed for rocky roads with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley? 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Giants should sign Daniel Jones and tag Saquon Barkley.
Once you tag the guy, nobody's giving up 2 first-round picks.
They're going to continue to negotiate with Saquon and Daniel.
Dream scenario, I am signing Daniel Jones and I'm tagging Saquon Barkley.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty hanging out with us today.
What they really want from...
General managers spoke at the combine.
Can you go through all of the names?
I used to have to memorize. I can't hit all of the names. It was bad. I was singing it one time for my mom. My mom was like, why did you? I was like, ooh, I can't
about
do this.
About three
for my
Kims.
Latoya, Latina. Shelly, Bridget, Kathy, Rashida. Come on, Max.
General managers spoke at the combine. Here's Joe Shane, the Giants GM.
Again, you have to go through, you know, hard times before you come out the other end and better times with negotiations. So, you know, obviously we'd like to have them both back. They know how we feel about both of them. And, you know, again, we're still working through it. If it gets out of hand and it's out of our comfort zone, you know, we have the tag. We can only tag one player. We'll use that. And if somebody's got to walk, then it's unfortunate. But that's a part of the business, and we're still building a team.
Mm. So conventional wisdom is you want to give Daniel Jones the contract, tag Saquon Barkley, because usually contracts don't run out, you work out for the running back. However, Jay, Chris, in this case, there's also the argument that, man, it'd be much cheaper to sign the running back and to franchise the quarterback in this case.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there's that side of the argument because I made that argument a couple of weeks ago. Now, I completely agree with you, Max. I mean, the money on a long-term deal for Saquon Barkley is much lower than the money on a long-term deal with Daniel Jones. So if you miss with Saquon Barkley, if the best that you're ever going to see from Saquon is what you got in 2022, after a couple of years, if you sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal, you can cut bait with him at marginal impact to your salary cap when it comes to dead money. Now, if you sign Daniel Jones to a market deal at the quarterback position for 3 or 4 years, I mean, you're talking about having to eat a significant portion of dead money if it doesn't work out over a couple of years. And I think that can be crippling for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll based on where they expect to be at that point in their program building. So I think this is a situation, although it may be uncomfortable, you go ahead and extend Saquon and you tag Daniel Jones and you make him play out 2023 on the $32.5 million salary, even though it really puts a dent in your salary cap.
You do it.
This is the situation that you do because the alternative can be much worse when you start talking about the long term for this franchise.
What's a sweet spot for him? If that was like a 3-4 year, $35 million a year deal,
I can't even go there, Jay.
You can't go 35.
No, Jay, I can't go. Think about it. 35 on a 3 year deal. I can't go there,
man. 105 spread out over 4 years. Spread out over
70 million guaranteed.
But wait, even if you guarantee the 105 over 3 years, but it's really a 4-year deal, you're gonna go
4 years, 140?
No, 3 years, 105. It's 4 years, but with the 105 guaranteed, so it's really a 3-year deal. You're trying to lower the cap hit.
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to add a year?
So, in other words, when the guaranteed money runs up, there is no real contract. The reason we see, like, he signed $200 million. No, what's the guarantee, right? So, even if he was looking for $100 million guaranteed.
But his agent is going to push back, Max. It's like, okay, if we're going to sign a 4-year deal, then the guaranteed portion of the contract is going to be more. So you might be saying, let's do a 4-year deal. Okay, 4-year deal, it's $140 million.
Everyone's got to give.
The guarantee is going to be around $90 million. Right. How do you feel about that?
90 over 4? Guaranteed?
Yeah, $90 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. All right.
But
after 2 years, if it doesn't work out, that year that you decide to move on from him, it's going to be a hell of a dead cap hit.
But you know how I see it? You know how I see it, Chris? The dead cap hit, the quarterback room.
Nobody cares about dead cap hits. All we're really saying is that Daniel Jones has more to prove in terms of what he did this year in order for us to be sold on him having a 9-figure contract.
The quarterback room, what does that come in failure, right? You're going to have to bring someone else in. You probably have to draft and develop a guy. So what's the quarterback room going to get? The top of the market's now well over 50. Yeah. If you're bringing this guy in at 2/3 of the market, and that's where he is, he's like a little above average right now for a starting quarterback. Yeah. Big deal. So you draft and develop a guy. Your quarterback room still isn't killing you. That's my point. What's the real downside?
See though, Chris, like I sit there and say, okay, like you think you get more in the market? Go get it.
Yeah.
Go get it then.
Yeah. You don't think he'll get it?
No.
I think he'll get it.
You think he'll get it?
I mean, here's the thing.
Where do you think he would get it?
The Jets?
You think he's going to get what? The Jets are going to do what?
I think the Jets will give him a contract.
Ain't no way in hell, Max.
Why? Daniel Jones on the Jets.
No, man, that's not a move. That's not a move that the Jets can make. That's just not a move that the Jets can make.
Guys, 35 is not what it used to mean.
After seeing Daniel Jones for 4 years in this market, that's not a move the Jets can make. And furthermore, Max, why would you try to marginally improve your quarterback room if you're the Jets?
It's not marginal. That's a huge improvement. Daniel Jones is a huge improvement.
It's marginal in the context of trying to compete for a championship. You got a team that can win right now if you're the Jets.
Yep.
Do you think Daniel Jones can take you there?
I would rather have Lamar Jackson, but I don't have to.
Do you think Daniel Jones can win you a Super Bowl with the Jets?
It's possible, yeah.
Man, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it is.
I can't have this conversation. In an AFC with Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert, all those dudes, Joe Burrow, you think Daniel Jones can get it for you?
No, I don't think he's better than any of those guys.
But I think he's
above the line where let's put it this way. Do I know that for sure? No. But I just saw him play very well without receivers.
He played very well. He threw 15 touchdown passes.
That's what the offense called for. They went to the playoffs and won a playoff game.
You said that's what the offense called for. Yeah. Maybe that's because that's what the head coach called knowing the limitations of his quarterback.
100%, but also knowing the limitations of the receiving core.
Max, do you think it's fair to say that your expectations might have exceeded Daniel Jones on where he really is as a player?
I would say
because he had a good year, it's possible.
But I was not pro Daniel Jones in the look, guys. We see what it is, whatever. What I saw this year was promising enough for me to think, what would it look like if he had a number one receiver?
I'm only going to pose this to you. Now, you have a year where you come out, you do your thing. Being the guy the following year, when schemes then change, provides different challenges.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like this organization didn't try to put receivers around Daniel Jones. I mean, Kenny Golladay was a bust. Wandale Robinson was a premium pick. Kadarius Toney was a premium pick. And those guys didn't work out. Now, we can blame.
Well, we don't know about Wandale yet. Like, let's give him some chance.
Well, all I'm simply saying is how much of that do we put on those players and how much of that do we put on the quarterback?
I would say Daboll just got there. The team didn't know what it was doing on offense until this year. And in year one of the reasons Daboll – look, if you're Daniel Jones, you don't want to leave Daboll either. But one of the reasons they look so far ahead of schedule and can fool people into thinking they're better than they are is Daniel Jones played very well.
Also, Daniel Jones had
Evan Ingram for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And Evan Ingram looked like a different player. Dude.
He dropped
he
a lot of passes, too. No, come on now.
Come on. Oh,
he did.
Evan, Evan Ingram looked like a different player this year.
Listen, if
he
I'm
was a completely different player.
If I'm ever talented, facing any criminal charges, I want Max Kellerman to defend me.
Oh, he's
like
great.
He's defending Daniel
he's
Jones.
Lawyer
right
in this
by the way, you act like I came in with my mind made up. I was not. I was like, come on, let's draft Justin Fields. Let's be realistic. Oh, you can't do that. You have Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones never going to be great. Let's be honest. What I
you just
saw
said
this
he
year.
Win you a
wait,
championship.
Wait, what I because I this is before I saw this year. What I saw this year was promising enough to suggest he could do it with the right people around him. You got to get him receivers.
Why are you yelling?
Can the Lakers stay afloat until LeBron James returns?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.